Isaiah chapter 15 and verse 1 begins, "The burden of Moab." The burden of Moab. You know, in God's judgment upon Moab, we're reminded that God's judgment upon this whole earth is coming. In a short time, the very same burden that Moab faced will be the burden that all nations of the earth will face. More personally, this is the burden that we shall face if we meet God without faith in Christ. You may think that you have great ease in this life because you don't believe on Christ. Some people today are out doing things and they're not sitting here where you're sitting. Some folks are never concerned about spiritual things. But it may be easy for a season. But soon the full burden of God's judgment will be upon your shoulder to bear it. And for those who put their trust in Christ, this yoke is light. It's easy. Because, first of all, the believer delights in it. The believer delights to hear of Christ. The believer delights to sing praise to Christ. The believer delights to walk after Christ. The believer delights to follow after Him continually. And it's a light and easy yoke because the burden is on Christ's shoulder. The government's on His shoulder. And so it's light for us and it's easy for us. Now I've got 2 points here this morning I want you to see. First of all is the sure destruction of Moab. And secondly, the sure salvation by Christ the King. Now, this word that's being delivered by Isaiah has not yet come to pass. It's given in the present tense because the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? The Lord's hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? And so God, who knows the end from the beginning, speaks of this in the present tense as if it's happening now. Because it shall, at the time that Isaiah is delivering this prophecy. So first of all, let's look here at the sure destruction of Moab. The burden of Moab, verse 1. Because in the night Ar of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence or cut off. Because in the night Ker of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. These are chief cities. And this is the first part of this destruction. These chief cities in Moab are going to be cut off. Going to be destroyed. They represent the very pride of Moab. They represent the security of Moab. Everything that the inhabitants of Moab had worked to achieve. The word of the Lord is that in one night, both these chief cities will be cut off and brought to silence. And then verse 2 says, "He, Moab, is gone up to Bacheth and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. Their religious bartering will provide no salvation for them." Bajeth was the house or the temple of Chemosh, which was their idol god. And Dibon was another place with a temple. They went up to their high places. They cut off the hair of the head and the beard. They dressed in sackcloth. They cried out, weeping abundantly. Not only in their temples, but on the flat roofs of their houses and in their streets. And yet they came down from their high places, crying the same as when they went up to their high places, weeping abundantly. Why is that? In Hosea, the Lord said this, they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. The same thing was happening in Judah, not in the high place, but in the house of the Lord. You remember back there, you can turn back there with me if you'd like, in Isaiah 1:12. He said, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12, he says, when you come before me, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? He calls them vain oblations. He calls it iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Verse 15, he says, when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Judah was coming to the Lord's house, though, but they were coming with the sacrifices that God ordained. So why didn't God receive them? Why didn't he receive them? Look back there at Isaiah 1:3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. It's a heart matter. They don't consider in their heart. In Isaiah 57:10, turn over there with me. Isaiah 57:10. He says, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. The greatness of thy way. Yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand. Therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Do you see that? In Mark 7, verse 6, the Lord answered the Pharisees, and he said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's far from me. Their tears that Moab would cry were tears from a broken and contrite spirit. Their sins weren't, their tears weren't over their sin against God. Their tears weren't in spirit and in truth. But all their religious exercise was a barter. It was a barter. In other words, I'll offer this service to you in exchange for my cities and my substance. I want my cities and my substance back. The Lord said, he said, they've not cried unto me with their heart. They howled upon their beds, but they assembled themselves for corn and wine. And they rebel against me. They say, as they said in Isaiah 58:3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? The Lord says, behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. The Lord says it's rebellion against me. It's rebellion against me. And then all their chief defenses shall come to nothing. Look in verse Isaiah 15, verse 4. And Heshbon shall cry, and Eleali, their voice shall be heard even to Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. His life shall be grievous unto him. The voice of crying, we get the picture here, that is spreading throughout the country. Jahaz was on the very border of Moab. So we see this voice of crying is going from city to city. It's just spreading throughout Moab. And therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. The army is the chief and very last defense of a country. When the soldiers who are armed to do battle, and fierce warriors ready to go into battle, when they began to cry, and when they began to mourn for their own lives, and began to be grievous for their own lives, the nation's conquered. It's conquered. And he said, this is coming to pass. Then in verse 5, he says, my heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitive shall flee unto Zoar, and heifer of 3 years old. For by the mounting up of Luhith with weeping shall they go it up. For in the way of Horonium they shall raise up a cry of destruction. This word fugitives means his bars. It means his protectors, his princes, his rulers, under whose leadership the nation was protected. You got the army here, and you got the rulers of the nation. And he says both of them are going to flee. Their bars are going to flee to Zoar. It means they're going to leave the place where they've lived, where their pomp and their glory is, and they're going to flee to this little place called Zoar. And the name of Zoar says it all. This was that town that Lot fled to. You know what that name of that town means? Insignificance. That's what it means. Your princes and your rulers and all those defenses you put your trust in, they're going to flee to insignificance. And then it says here that not one left, there's not going to be one left with any strength. It's saying here, from the mounting up of Luhith shall they go it up, for in the way of Horonium shall they raise up a cry of destruction. What it's saying is from the highest mount to the lowest valley. One of these is a mount, one of these is a valley. From the highest to the lowest. One of these is on one side of the country, one on the other. From the east to the west, from the highest to the lowest. They're not going to be strengthening anybody. Not going to be strengthening anybody. And then he comes here and he says, all natural resources are going to be depleted. Look at verse 6. For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate. For the hay is withered away. The grass faileth. There is no green thing. Therefore the abundance they have gotten and that which they have laid up shall they carry away to the brook of the willows. In this drought, this waters of Nimrim being desolated, the hay withering, the grass failing, no green thing growing, the Lord makes it clear that this destruction is at His hand. It's at His hand. This is things that only the Lord can do. And He makes it clear there. And therefore, all the abundance that they work for and hoard it up as their security, every bit of it, they're going to carry away to the brook of the willows. The brook of the willows was on the border of Moab, is where it was. It's the same as the brooks of Arnon. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. It means that their abundance shall be brought to an end. Everything that you have, that you've stored up, is going to be brought to an end, to its border. Verse 8 says, for the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof unto Eglaim, and the howling thereof unto Barelim. For the waters of Diamond shall be full of blood, for I will bring upon Diamond lines upon him that escapeth of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. This place was a place that was full of laughter. It was a place full of ease. But now there's only burden and howling. Destruction and howling. The waters of Diamond shall be full of blood. Check that next phrase there, that next word. For I. This is the Lord's doing. This is the judgment of the Lord God. For I will bring upon Diamond lines upon him that escapeth of Moab and upon the remnant of the land. I, the Lord, will do this. If you notice, Moab is described here in personal pronouns. He. Like it's a person. And by this we see what shall become of a sinner personally, who puts his trust in these things. And before the child of mercy is going to be converted to Christ, these things will have to be stripped from him, and he'll have to be brought to behold Christ. These things will have to be turned. He'll have to be turned from these things. Just as Moab would be destroyed, these things will be taken from every person that's brought to Christ. Now, the sure salvation by Christ the King. This is where I want you to spend some time. Isaiah the prophet is delivering the burden of the Lord's judgment prior to the day of God's judgment upon Moab. It hasn't begun to happen yet. It's prior to it happening. And just as I'm delivering this word to you this morning, prior to God's judgment that's coming upon this world. Back in Isaiah 15:5 there, Isaiah says, my heart shall cry out for Moab. The Lord's messengers are sent to cry out, and they do so from the heart. They're sent to cry out, and they do so from the heart. There is a mourning, a desire, a travailing. The Romans 10:1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said it to the Galatians, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." And Isaiah says here, "My heart shall cry out for Moab." We don't take pleasure in the Lord's judgment upon a people and seeing people perish. We cry out for them. But this cry is not a sentimental cry. This cry is not one that diminishes the truth of God and tries to compromise the truth of God. This cry is in truth concerning Christ Jesus the Lord. And here's the cry of Isaiah prior to those in Moab, prior to this judgment coming to pass. He says in Isaiah 16:1, "Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion." Isaiah's gospel is this: cast all your care on the Lord God. Destruction's coming. Cast all your care on the Lord God. Believe on Him. And this has been Isaiah's message from throughout the book. And that's what he's saying right here. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of the land. He's the ruler of the land. He's God's anointed king. Cast your care on Him. In Revelation 17:14, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." He's Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the Lamb of God, and He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And at the time of this prophecy, Hezekiah is the king in Judah. He's the king in Judah. He's God's anointed king. Now this exhortation comes and it says, "Send the lamb to Hezekiah." Send the lamb to Hezekiah, to King Hezekiah. And it's another way of saying, repent from trusting your own way and believe on the Lord God and His anointed king. Put your care into the hand of God's anointed king. Now, I want to show you a little history here concerning this matter of sending this lamb to the king of Judah. Long before this, before any of this happened, King David was God's anointed king who delivered the children of Israel into peace by smiting the Moabites and bringing them into service to him. You know, the Moabites, they came from Lot, Abraham's nephew. So they're relatives of the children of Israel, of Judah. They're relatives of theirs. But from the very beginning, they were a thorn in the side to God's people. They created just problem after problem after problem for children of Judah. Continually they did. And so the Lord said this in Numbers 24:17. In Numbers 24:17, He said, "There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." Now, this star out of Jacob came forth in the person of David, but it's a type of Christ. This star is the star out of Jacob, and it's Christ. This scepter is the scepter that rose out of Israel and smote the enemies of the children of Israel. That's Christ. That's who it's typifying, is Christ. Now, David knew that himself. David knew, even when he was in that position of being the king, that he wasn't the star that rose out of Jacob. He knew he wasn't the scepter that rose up out of Israel to deliver his people. He knew that is Christ the king. King David knew that. The Lord asked the Pharisees, He said, "Whose son is Christ?" And they said, "Well, He's the son of David." And He said, "Well, David in spirit said, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.'" And the Lord said, if He's the son of David, then how come David called Him Lord? And they couldn't answer it, because He is the one whom David was but a type. And so this one was raised up, and he came to Moab, and he smote Moab. And what he did was he killed all of them but a third. He left a third of them. But that third were brought to be his captives, and they paid tribute to him in lambs. We read this. It says, "And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts." They brought gifts. They brought lambs to David, to King David. Well, they did this for years and years. Moab did. And there was peace between the two when they did this. When they brought the lamb, there was peace between them. But the children of those fathers in Moab who were bringing the lambs and paying the lambs to King David and were willingly his servants, those children of those fathers rebelled, and they decided, we're not carrying that lamb up there to him anymore. We're not doing that anymore. And they fell right back into their rebellion, right back into their fighting, right back into their warring with Israel again. And so Isaiah comes forth now, and he says, take the lamb and go to King Hezekiah. Take the lamb and go to King Hezekiah. The only hope you have is take the lamb to the ruler of the land in Mount Zion. That's the only hope you have, Isaiah said. And the whole thing here is a picture of coming to Christ, trusting Christ, believing on Christ, casting all your care on Christ, for therein is all our salvation. He is all our salvation. The only way you and I will be saved from ourselves, the only way you and I will be saved from the enemy, the only way you and I will be saved from the righteous judgment of God is to be found in Christ, who bore the righteous judgment of God on our behalf. That's the only way we're going to come into God's presence and be spared from our enemies. Now, there's a lesson here in this, that through these children of Moab, they had faithful fathers who were faithful to carry this lamb up there to King David. They were faithful to serve him. But now the children came along and they said, we're going to do what we want to. And Isaiah comes to those children of Moab and he says, you send the lamb to King Hezekiah. It's not enough that our fathers believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough that we have a grandfather, a grandmother, or a father or a mother that believe on him. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, says, you believe on him. You believe on him. You send the lamb. You go up to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion with the lamb. Now, where do they send it? They're supposed to send it to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Where's Christ's throne? Where is Christ seated? Where is our King seated? He's seated in Mount Zion. He's seated in Mount Zion. The picture we get here of sending the lamb to Hezekiah in Mount Zion is the picture of heart worship, the full assurance of faith, of trusting Christ the King in heaven's Zion. Start over to Psalm 2 with me, or you can look in your bulletin there. I printed this passage in the bulletin, but Psalm 2. Down in verse 6. The Lord said, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You realize what you just got to hear? We just got to hear the decree. We just got to hear what God the Father said to God the Son when he set his King in his holy hill of Zion. He said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You know what that means? That means he's the king. That means he has the crown rights. That means whatever he says goes. He's the king. And Isaiah comes forth and he says, now, send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land. Pay thy tribute. Pay thy vows. Go up to him. Trust him. Look to him. This is the king who's going to save you. And look what the Lord says here to us in verse 11, or verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. These are little k kings. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Those who think they're kings in this earth. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But look at this next word. Blessed, happy are all they that put their trust in him. Where do the saints kiss the Son? Where do the saints kiss the Son? You remember that harlot that came into the Pharisee's house? She stood behind him, crying her eyes out, washed his feet with tears, and kissed his feet. She kissed his feet. You know what that is? That's obeisance. That's reverence. You know what those words mean? Find out what those words mean. Obeisance and reverence. It's the inward part. It's the heart made pure by God. It's that heart that's been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, washed in regeneration by the Holy Ghost, renewed by the Holy Spirit, purified by faith. We see God in Christ seated at God's right hand. Look over at Psalm 51, verse 6. Psalm 51, verse 6. David says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Look down at verse 16. Or look here with me. Let's read this out. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. This is that sprinkling of the blood of Christ. How am I going to kiss the feet of Christ? How am I going to come forth in obeisance and reverence? You're going to make it, Lord. And David's asking him to do this. Lord, make me to do this. Purge me. Make me to know in the hidden part. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear it. If he don't make me to hear it, I can't hear it. If he don't make me to hear it, I can't hear it. I'll find my joy and my gladness in something else if he doesn't make me to hear joy and gladness. And the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. This is that pure heart we looked at last week. We talked about. It's in your bulletin this morning. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Look down at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I'd give it. That's what Moab was given. That's what the rebellious in Judah were given. If you just want sacrifice, I'll barter with you for some sacrifice. I'll come into your house. You give me something, I'll give you something. He said, if that's what you wanted, I'd give it. But you don't want that. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. God gave the burnt offering. You mean he doesn't delight in it? He delights in the end of what the burnt offering was given to bring us to. The end is Christ the Lord. The end is Christ the Lord. If we haven't been brought to the end, we haven't been brought to Christ the Lord. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is that lady that came, that harlot that came there to the Lord, that's what she had. That's what she had. That blind man who was given eyes to see, and the Lord came to him and said, "Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Lord, who is he that I might believe on him?" And he said, "Well, you've seen him, and it's he that talketh with you." And he fell down and gave obeisance. He fell down and he gave obeisance. He fell down and he reverenced him. He fell down and he kissed his feet. There was some folks who came to him, just like the harlot came to him, but they didn't come to him and kiss his feet. There were some who came to him and begged him of things, but they didn't do obeisance. They didn't reverence him. The Lord, David says, "I know you don't want sacrifice. You don't want me just coming to you and saying that therein I've shown you any sort of obeisance, bowed to you and kissed your feet. It's coming to him and bowing and kissing his feet. It's coming to him and bowing to him, falling on our face, and it's in the inward part. It's what David said, Lord, make me to do this." Surely David didn't have to have the Lord to make him to do that. He's the man after God's own heart. He said, "Lord, create this within me. Create this within me." No man can come to the Son unless the Father draw him. And he has to draw us. He has to draw us to him continually. You know why? Because our flesh is drawing us as hard as it can elsewhere. And we can't come to him unless the Father draw us and keep us at the feet of Christ. Look over at Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he's our God, and we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice, there it is. If you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it's a people that do err in their heart. They've not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my presence. Christ Jesus, our wise Solomon, will take no less than our heart. That's it. He will take no less than our heart. He says, Son, give me thine heart. Well, back in our text in Isaiah 16:2, it says, for it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. You know, the fords of Arnon are the same as the brook of the willows that we saw up there. And it means when you come to the borders of Moab, when you come to your end, this is how it'll be. I see two things right here. Two things. First of all, if you come not kissing the feet of Christ, not bowing to Christ, you'll have no strength to cross over the waters of Arnon. When everything that sinners put confidence in are brought to nothing, when the chief cities are destroyed, when your confidence in religion is gone, when your armed soldiers and your chief rulers have been abolished, when the waters are dried up and the earth is dissolved, if you're not trusting Christ to deliver you, who alone can deliver you through the fords of Arnon, you'll be like a wandering bird cast out of the nest, absolutely helpless and just fit for destruction. There's something else here. This is a positive thing to those who trust Christ, because the Lord declares in the law how He protects those who escaped from their former master to Christ the Master. Listen to this law. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. Don't oppress him. He's poor and needy. Don't oppress him. Those wandering birds who are cast out, the poor and needy, whether they're Jew or Gentile, are forever secure under the care of Christ Jesus, who fulfills this law perfectly. Perfectly. We'll dwell with Christ, and He'll not oppress us. He won't allow anyone else to oppress us. And we're going to see that now. Look here with me in the next thing. He says, hear and obey the word of the Lord. Look at verse 3. Take counsel and execute judgment. Not the counsel of men, not the counsel of your own understanding. Listen to me. If you do anything when you hear a message preached from this place, go home, take the scriptures, and open up the scriptures, and go through the scriptures and see what if these things be so. Look at the scriptures and see if these things be so. My opinion don't matter, and your opinion don't matter. Don't take counsel in men. Don't take counsel in what men think. See what God says. And this is what this word means here when it says take counsel. It's what He said back in Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Take counsel of the Lord. Hear the Lord's word. Hear His mouth speak. Now, look at verse 3. Make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast. Bewray, or don't uncover him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. Now, these things that he's saying to take counsel, to hear what the Lord says and execute judgment. Hear the Lord say this and do this. These things are what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His people. He's covered us completely from the burning sunbeams of sin and of the law and of death. He's covered us in the robe of His righteousness, in the shadow of His wings. He's covered us. He says, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Cover them from that blazing noonday heat. Cover them. And he says, Christ, that's what Christ has done for us. He says, hide the outcast. Don't out them. Don't uncover up the one that comes wandering to you, seeking refuge. That's what Christ has done for us. He says, you're dead. You died when Christ died, and your life is hidden. It's hidden. The enemy can't find you. It's hidden with Christ in God. He says that be a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. He's our covert from the face of the spoiler. The Lord Isaiah said, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's Christ. He's a covert. The believer might be an outcast. He might be cast out by the enemy. He might be cast out by the world. The chastening hand of our loving Heavenly Father may cast us out to remove us from something that's injuring us. But this is what he says. They're mine outcasts. He said, you treat them like I've treated them because they're mine. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. He says to those born of the Spirit, hear his counsel. Hear what he's done. Hear of his everlasting covenant. Hear what he has done for his people. And take counsel and execute judgment. You do the same thing to your brethren. Don't shove the brethren under the heat of justice. Love them in mercy. Don't uncover the sin of those for whom Christ died. Cover their sin. Cover their sin. Know that Christ has forgiven them. Their sins and iniquities he'll remember no more. Don't turn the Lord's people over to the hand of the spoiler. Why? Because it's useless to fight against God. That's why. Look at the next verse, verse 4. For the extortioner's at an end. The spoiler ceaseth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. They already are. It's already done. How's it already done? It's already done in our Hezekiah. It's already done in our King David. It's already done in Christ Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died. It's God that justifieth. Who's he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea rather that's risen again. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? We might be slaughtered as lambs all the day long, but who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? The enemy's destroyed. The spoiler ceased. He's consumed out of the land. Verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established. In mercy shall the throne be established. And he, the ruler of the land, shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. That can't talk about nobody else but Christ. Nobody else but Christ. His peace shall be everlasting upon the king, upon the throne of David and in his kingdom, establishing it and executing judgment and justice. That's Christ our King. Mercy, God's mercy and truth, God's justice, they've met together. They've kissed each other in Christ Jesus. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. There's only one that faithfully established the poor in the perfection of holiness. And that one's Christ the Lord. And his throne's established forever. It's established forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I've said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. You know, the one who shows mercy to the Lord's outcast is the Lord's outcast. The one who shows mercy to the Lord's outcast is the Lord's outcast. Because he's tasted the Lord's mercy. He knows what it is to be an outcast. And he shows the outcast mercy. Well, here's you an application. Verse 6. Moab refused because of his pride. Just too proud to bow. Just too proud to kiss the feet. Do all these other things. Put confidence in his cities. Put confidence in his service and religion. Put confidence in his armed forces, his defenses. Put confidence in all the natural resources he could gather and store up and hoard up. Wouldn't put confidence in Christ Jesus the Lord. And he was destroyed under the Lord's hand, just as the Lord promised. Now that's a token to me and you. And what the Lord has said, he'll bring it to pass. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. Now, look over at 2 Peter 3. I think this is a good place to just take our lesson right here from what Peter said. Christ Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, is hastening righteousness. He's delivering His people. He's protecting us. And He'll soon judge the whole world in righteousness. And He'll destroy this whole earth just as He did Moab. Now here's what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me get over there with you. Look down. Look down at verse 11. Or verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. It's salvation. Look down at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things beforehand, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Send a lamb to the ruler of the land. Grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast all your care on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow down and kiss the feet of the Son of God. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.